Amen. Good morning. You know, every week we take time to pray and ask the Lord what we're going to talk about. And I want to intro this by saying this, that each and every one of you have a story. Each and every one of you have a story to tell. And some of it's been written for you. The Bible says that before any of our days were numbered, God wrote down what we were going to do on those days. That's pretty crazy, right? When you think about that. But it's pretty amazing. But then there's a part that we play in it as well. Though God has predestined us, there's a fancy Christianese term, but the idea that God had a plan for us before we were even created to see something happen in our lives, there's still a part that we play, right? And so as we are in harmony, as we are together with the Lord, then what happens is our story gets written. And there's different chapters, right? We got like the opening chapter when we're born, right? And, you know, we grow up. And then we have maybe our teen chapter. You know, for some of us, we wish that was maybe a shorter chapter. For others, maybe longer, you know, all kinds of different things. As we get older, you know, our different relationships, different jobs. So every part of our lives, in a sense, is different chapters. Hopefully, all of you here within the sound of my voice have a chapter where you're introduced to Jesus. And where Jesus then became a part of your story from that point moving forward. And so, for all of us, the story is still not all written, right? You know, as we carry on through this life and we breathe our last, that's not the final chapter. That's just a chapter, right? And then we breathe our last, and then we depart into eternity, and a whole new chapter starts. Wow. You know, and it just keeps going and going and going with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a scripture, lots of scripture actually, but in the Old Testament, believe it or not, King David said this in Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. So look at that scripture. There it is, David, even under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, saying, look, I'm going to tell you what God has done in my life. And in fact, you read through Psalms, you read through, it's all him telling about what God has done in his life. In the New Testament, we have, you know, lots of scripture, but Revelation 12:11 says this, that the enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. In other words, we're still in the New Testament to proclaim different chapters from our story. And so with that as an introduction, I'm going to invite several very special individuals to join me here on the stage. Tom and Mary Massey, they can begin to make their way up here. And, you know, how about you thank the Lord for them? They're good people. Can we do that? Amen. They're going to tell some chapters, some of the highlights from their story. You know, they're going to be leaving us. I'm really, like, sad about that. Bring chairs right up here. Just pop them right up here. Yep. Oh, closer. Let's get right up the table here. There we go. Yeah, and I'll come right over here. There we go. Awesome. Thanks, guys. They have been a part of our church since 1991. So we're talking, what, 32 years then, give or take. Wow. And Pastor Tom has been part of our pastoral staff, and Mary as well, for years and years and years. And Pastor Tom, I looked back in our records, and it was about 2012 that you became an elder. 2012, 2013. It's the first time I see your signature on elder stuff. So somewhere in there. Amen. So he has been an intricate part of our church, and Mary as well. And so we're going to hear their story this morning. It's going to encourage you. How many people here have been through some tough times in their lives? Yeah, if you're alive and breathing, I think probably most of us should put their hand up. Yeah, and they have some stories that include some of that, but they also include the victory there is in Jesus. Amen. And I'm really excited about that. Amen. Amen. So, Tom, you know, again, we haven't got like a lot of time, but how did you get saved? You know, how did you get on this road with Jesus?
Well, I wasn't looking for Jesus or anything like that. but he was looking for me, I think. I was on a business trip down to Mexico, and the airplane was on, got into extreme turbulence and was dropping like this. And I said to God, "Oh God, I'm sorry for my sins." And immediately I felt like a hypocrite because I only turned to God when I was in trouble. Mm. And there it was. And so I had this split second thought that, you know, I wish I could have an ongoing relationship with God. And that was that. And, you know, I went down to to Mexico and did my business there. And then I went down to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, after that, and spent a week or two there. And I was supposed to be going home. I was getting really, feeling like I really wanted to be home. It had been away for 3 weeks or so, and missing my family and stuff. And so then I was at a business meeting, and it ran so long that I missed my plane. And so the next day I caught another plane, I was sitting by myself. The plane was almost empty, and this was going to be a 10-hour flight to New York. And there was a girl across the aisle, and I said to her, "Would you like to come and sit with me?" And she said, "Okay." And she got all her stuff and moved over, and she started talking about Jesus. And I was like shocked almost. I'm like, "What is this?" And in a short while, we stopped in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and the plane filled up. So this other young man got on the plane, and he sat in between us, and he started telling us about a story about in Brazil. He was asked to go to a seance, and it scared the heck out of him, but he went, and they had witch doctors and chanting and all this kind of stuff. And he related to us that out of thin air during this ceremony, that three or four people appeared to them, just, you know, out of thin air, just before their eyes, they just appeared. And I'm like, no, I would like to see something like that. I'm asking them what they look like and what they said, and they said there were people that had lived long ago on the earth, and they came back to bring wisdom and understanding to people now. So I asked her, "What do you think about this? You talk about Jesus so much. What do you think about this?" And she told him that, you know, just by being at something like that, he could be bound by Satan. And all the color went out of his face. He became so frightened. And I wasn't sure I could believe him at the start, but when I saw all the color go out of his face, I know you can't fake that, so I knew he was for real. Anyway, I'm making it short as I can. After a while, I asked her, "Well, how did you get so fanatical about Jesus?" And she explained that, you know, she had some big tragedies in her life where her fiancé left her just before her wedding, and it had happened twice. And she went into this little church all by herself and told God she was at the end of her life, the end of her rope, and that her life wasn't worth anything. And she asked him to take over her life. And she talked about the peace that came upon her then. And you know, as she was talking about the peace, I could feel the peace. And it was like she was speaking in another dimension, in a sense. You know, I'd never experienced that like that before. And then I just said quietly to myself, "Jesus, if you could be real to me, I will follow you." And nobody encouraged me to say it or push me. I just said it. And he immediately made himself real to me right there on the airplane. I felt his presence. I felt a peace. Awesome. I felt a joy that I had not felt ever before. And within you know, an hour or so, we were approaching Kennedy Airport. And this is the shortest 10-hour flight I was ever on. We're approaching Kennedy Airport, and there's this big clap of thunder, and I heard God speak to me, and he said, the words that he said to me was, "I heard what you said." And that's all he said. I'd never heard God speak before, and it was unmistakable. It wasn't like I was thinking that. It was just so clear. I didn't hear it in my ears, but I heard it inside of me.
It's awesome.
It was just a whole new experience for me. So, you know, I worked down on Wall Street at the time, and, you know, after work, we would go down to the local bar and have a few beers after work. So I go down there, and I'm telling everybody what happened to me on the airplane. and they're all just laughing at me. I'm like, oh, I don't get it. They don't seem to believe me. But I really was on fire for God.
That's awesome.
I don't know. And I really didn't know what happened to me. I didn't know what to call it or anything. Man. I never heard of it before. And it didn't go away. You know, a lot of times people get afraid that, you know, if somebody gets saved and they don't have the follow-up, and I'm not against follow-up,
yep.
but that they might just wander off sure. and it just dissipates. Well, so, it did not dissipate. It got more intense and more intense.
With that, let me bring Mary in on this. Yeah. So here's what happens. You know, you become born again. How long have you been married at this point?
7 years.
So you had some kids already?
Yeah, the two older ones.
So you had a couple girls at home, little ones. Okay, your husband went off to South America. He comes back like an alien stole his being, like he's a different person completely. You know, all about Jesus now. How did you respond to that?
So when he comes home after the flight, he says to me, oh, you have to meet this girl. So I figured, I don't need to meet this girl, you know. And he'd always been a bit wild and crazy. So then he starts talking about God, you know. So I'm thinking like, oh, this is just another trip for him, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I had been brought up in traditional religion, but I was mm-hmm. very turned off by it. My brother had been a priest, and he was really messed up. And it was just like, where's God and all this? So I just decided I'd be my own God. You know, mm-hmm. I could just, whatever I felt was right, that's how I lived. Mm-hmm. And so we had been married 7 years, but it was like the worst time in our marriage. Like, I felt like I was mm-hmm. living with Mr. Goody Goody. We'd go to parties, and he'd be talking about God, and I'd be like, I'm not into this, you know.
Yeah.
But I was also finishing my RN at the time and in Bronx Community in New York City. And we were doing psychiatric then, so the professor had to speak to you, make sure you didn't go off while you're working with the psychiatric people. So somehow we're talking, and she was asking how I was doing. I said, fine. And she said something about God. I said, oh, you know, my husband's into that too. So she says, oh, I'd love to meet him. So I thought, this is wacko, you know. And so she kept telling me, I want to meet him. So since it's a 10-credit course, I figured, well, I'll make this accessible. So finally, I got them together at Jacoby in the Bronx. That's where the nursing center was. And the two of them talk about God for 2 hours. And I'm there like, because he didn't meet anybody who knew God from when he got saved, you know. And so, and previous to this happening too, I felt like I couldn't get to God. I didn't even know how. Mm-hmm. So the way we prayed was we just knelt. We hadn't been in church in a long time. We knelt down by our bed and we prayed together, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to mm-hmm. me. So I feel like this teacher God just put in my path. So anyway, she invited us to a prayer meeting in the South Bronx that Friday night. And I'm thinking, Friday night, I'm not going to a prayer meeting. But since it was my teacher, I figured, well, we probably should. So we go to the prayer meeting, the worst area in the Bronx, and I'm like kind of a little nervous. And somebody comes up to our car when we park, and I'm thinking, oh, we're going to be killed now, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the guy says, oh, did I leave enough room for you, you know, a space, you know. So we go into the prayer meeting, and the power of God was like unbelievable. And the people were just so loving. I never felt love like that before. And previous to that, I had my LPN, so I was working in an ER in Manhattan. And there was just so much hopelessness there. Mm. And they used to bring the ladies off the street who overdosed by drugs. And so one of the other nurses said to me one night, once an addict, always an addict. And I was like, and they, you know, and the addicts would be out of control a lot because they'd overdosed and we'd have to tie them down. And I just felt like, you know, this is a woman, you know, like this is, like, what's life about, you know? So we get to this prayer meeting, and there's this girl there saying how Jesus delivered her from heroin. It was like God had her, and I just knew it was real, and I just never heard somebody say Jesus had the power like that to do that, you know? Mm. And then someone else was praying for their teeth, and I'm thinking, why don't they just go to the dentist, you know? Like this is just like, but the presence of God and the love just overtook me. It was like, so then I was the only one unsaved in the room, but I didn't know that, you know. So then
the people there were Mennonites, and they wore these little hats, you know. The ladies had all these little hats. I'm thinking, what am I doing here with all these strange people on a Friday night? Anyway, I just have to say that.
So then the guy, the pastor leading the meeting, says, this, you know, he said, oh, would you like to put your life in Jesus' hands? So I said, yeah, the presence of God was so much. It was like it went past my mind, but into my spirit. And then, so yeah, I thought that was good. And then he said, and tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins. I said, I don't have any. Nobody said anything, nothing. And I was so glad because I would have been out of there if they started, you know, arguing with me. And then he says, and if you want the power to walk the life, you need the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So I said, yeah, that's good, yeah. So I got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was changed from then. You know, and I think the main thing for me, I was so messed up that getting the power of the Holy Spirit right then really, it made me walk with God, because even now we see so many people that love God so much, and they're depending on themselves.
Yeah.
And so like having the power of the Holy Spirit was like huge. And then I was in nursing, and like I'd pray for people and they'd get better. And you know, it was like so much for me, you know, like, and there was one girl, she had overdosed, and I hadn't ever witnessed to anybody. And she was my patient, and she was like cursing, and we had her tied down, and because at that time there was glass intravenous bottles, so they'd knock them over. Yeah. And so anyway, she said, nobody loves me. And so like it was the first time that I felt like I should speak, and I said, Jesus loves you. And like there was not a word out of her mouth that wasn't a curse before that. She says, does he? I said, yes, he loves you.
What an opportunity.
You know, it was like unbelievable for me, because the power of the Holy Spirit was on me. And like she ended up going, and that weekend Columbia Presbyterian had no beds for the addicts. And we were involved with a Christian drug program, and they let her go to the Christian drug program, and she ended up being a counselor in the program. It was just awesome. Like miracles that like really made God real for me.
Amen. Yeah. So you know, you guys are kind of rocking and rolling in Jesus. Your family's growing, things are happening, and then you know, life happens. You want to just share, Tom, what happened to you?
Well, you know, I felt so blessed by the Lord, and I, you know, when I looked around at other people in our church and stuff, people were sick and they were hurting and all that. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm so blessed, and I've never had, you know, a problem with illness or anything like that. But then the day came when I did have a problem, and I had an intestinal disorder called Crohn's disease. And it was terrible. It was like having diarrhea for 10 years. You can't imagine what that's like. You know, there was a lot of bleeding and stuff too. And it just went on and on. And I worked in New York City, so I had to commute on the train all the way down. And so I'd be really sick on the train. And I endured it for a long time, and eventually, we were down in Florida for a vacation, and on the way back on the airplane, I felt like I was hemorrhaging. You know, I thought I was going to die right on the airplane, but I didn't, and went right from there to the hospital, and they did surgery on me, and I was very close to death. And actually, after the surgery, the doctor called Mary because I was hemorrhaging, and he said to her, he's going to die tonight. So that night, I was supposed to die. Actually, I had an experience in the hospital, which doesn't make any sense, and it didn't then either, that a cruise ship came into my room in the hospital, and my mind is going, this couldn't be. But the cruise ship was there, and it was there for me. I was the only one there, and this cruise ship came in, and I knew I was supposed to go and get on it. And I didn't. And then some doctor came in the room and wanted to examine me and all that, and that was the end of that. But I felt like that cruise ship was going to take me to heaven, because I was going to die that night. But God had a different plan. Amen. And so... Yeah.
So Mary, how did you feel? You know, you're experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. You've seen God heal, even through yourself. And mm-hmm. here's your husband on his deathbed, at least at this point.
Well, I think the course of the illness was just so debilitating. And I would be crying. And, you know, he was like in his 30s. We had four kids. And some days I just put the cover over my head and say, God, you know, I know you're there, but I don't even know how to go on, you know. And watching him, he was down to 90 pounds and on all kinds of pain medication, tranquilizers, and every more medication made other side effects. Yeah. And so it was kind of just a wreck. But yet I knew God was there, and I knew that God was carrying me, and people were praying. I just really threw this today.
Yeah, we had a praying church. Reach out here.
And the love and the prayers, I felt like they just carried us, you know, and like even though you felt like emotionally or you couldn't go on, but yet somehow I always knew God was there and he was there for me. And so when he went in the hospital, he was, you know, hemorrhaging, and the doctor says to me, he's not going to make it. All of a sudden, this peace comes on me. Like it was nothing that I generated, nothing. The presence of God, and I feel like that's the prayers of the saints just carrying me. And like this peace came on me. I didn't say anything to the doctor, but this peace just came. I knew he was going to be all right, and the hemorrhaging stopped. And the doctor calls me the next morning, says, Mary, Tom's doing much better.
He said it's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Mm.
It was literally a miracle.
Like, thank you, God, you know, but it took a long time to get better after that, but... just the faithfulness of God.
Yeah. And that was how long ago? 30 or 40 years?
91, yeah. You know, and just...
I still haven't passed away yet.
You're still here.
I'm still here.
So, you know, obviously with this, you're not in international banking anymore, you know, probably because of this health.
Oh, yes,
what happened from that point moving forward?
After a while, I tried to go back to work, and when I was there a couple of days, my boss said to me, Tom, you need to go on disability. You can't be doing this anymore. So I did, and I applied for disability, and I went on disability. And so when I was at home, I thought, I can't just sit home and just wait, you know, day after day, doing nothing, just waiting to get better. So I decided I would like to be in counseling. And in fact, some years before, somebody had prophesied over me that I would actually have a ministry working with people one-on-one. Mm. And I believe that was counseling, the counseling ministry. So I decided, well, I need to get up and do something. So I called SUNY New Paltz and asked for the director of the counseling center. It was a woman, forget her last name now, anyway. But I asked her if I could be admitted to the program. And she said, well, if you bring all your transcripts from your previous schooling, and I'll take a look at them, and if you take this course and this course and this course, about three undergraduate courses, she says, I'll admit you to the master's program. I said, wow, okay. So I went through all that, and I went through three years of schooling and internship, and I got my degree and master's degree in counseling at SUNY New Paltz. And then unexpectedly, one of the professors became ill, and they asked me if I would teach there. Like, me teach? I never taught a class anywhere in my life. So I said yes. I figured, what the heck, I'll give it a try. Yeah. And so I taught psychology over there for about a year. And then I did some teaching at Dutchess Community College for a year, basic psychology. Yeah. And so I was getting better, you know, year by year. And things started to improve.
You know, there's a scripture that kind of connects with this, and I'd like to share it. It's in 2nd, and they'll put it up, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You know, as I hear your story up until this point, you know, you went through some great challenges, both of you did. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom may have been dealing with the physical part, but you carried the emotional part, the family, you know.
Drama.
Yeah, the drama.
She said that was worse than the physical.
Yeah. I told him it was harder for me.
Yeah, amen. But through it, you sense the mercy and the comfort of God. And, you know, that word comfort actually means the closeness of God. It doesn't just mean that he's like, yeah, okay, you know, but literally he's right there embracing you and holding on to you.
Yes.
And I think that as a result of your experience, it now allows you to come around and see people in a different light, mm-hmm. having gone through what you've gone through. Do you want to comment on that at all?
Yeah, well, like I said before, I never had a problem. And I saw so many Christians who had problems, and I wondered, you know,
what'd they do wrong? Or
why is that? You know? But now I had a problem, and now I could see them, and, you know, before I might be thinking in my mind, well, why don't you just ask God to heal you or whatever, and you'd be healed. Well, you know, it wasn't that simple. Like 10 years of sickness and devastation. Yeah. It was so humiliating and everything. It was about as humiliated as you could get.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that God can't heal immediately, and no, he does, sometimes he doesn't.
He didn't heal immediately, and I wonder, well, you know, I was never tempted to walk away from God or get mad at God. I had a lot of whys. Why God? Why? Yeah. Why? And why me? You know, when is this going to end? And how is it going to end? Yeah. So, actually, I had a lot of arguments with God. You know, even in subsequent years when I'd pray for people and some people would get healed and some people would just die. And it's when people died after I'd been praying for them, I'm like, God, why? How come? I did everything you were supposed to do. And I said, you know, I got to the point where I had to say, I just don't understand. And God said to me, it's not about understanding. It's about faith. Yeah. And he said, faith goes beyond understanding.
Yeah.
And that was really real insight to me, that faith goes beyond our understanding. And then I could go on and pray for people again, and they didn't have to get healed, but I was hoping they would.
You know, I'm going to ask this question to both of you, but I'll ask Tom first, and it's this. Right here, within the sound of our voices, there are some people going through stuff. It could be, you know, medical condition, you know, mental illness possibly, relationships, finances, you know, list goes on and on of the different trials and tribulations. Having been one that has gone through, you know, something really hard and difficult, what would you say to them right now if they're experiencing, they're in the middle of their 10 years, if you know what I'm saying, of a trial and tribulation.
Yes.
What would you say?
I would say, you know, Jesus is your rock, and stand on him. He is our rock and our fortress, our God in whom we trust.
Yes.
And endure, you know. That's something that God really, really respects, is endurance, our willingness to carry on in the face of a losing battle, our parent losing battle. Yeah. I would say, you know, stand on the rock and cultivate that endurance, and you will come through.
Amen.
You know, and I figured, well, if I die, I'll be in heaven, but and that's another thing, you know, about death. You know, as a natural person, we think of death as the ultimate defeat. And, you know, as you walk with God and you realize, you know, death is not a defeat. You know, we go to heaven. We're the winners.
Yeah, amen.
You know, so we have to stop looking at death as the thing that, you know, the devil won, you know, and we're defeated, you know. Yeah. It's not. Death is our victory, you know, just as it was for Jesus at the cross.
Yes.
It was his victory.
That's good. Amen. So Mary, you have a different perspective, but still having gone through trial and tribulation, what would you say to that individual struggling right at this moment?
I think because even recently, in the last 3 years, I've gone through lymphoma, and I really believe it's so important to be hooked into a church that cares and loves for you. Like, I was in the hospital during COVID, And like, there was just no hope there. You know, one of the doctors said to me, "You're old, you probably have cancer, and you'll probably die." He says to me. But then another doctor came in and said, "Oh, I don't even listen to him." But it was like, but yet the peace on me, with people praying for me, you know, like the prayer is just, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It was like, I was in the hospital for 20 days. He couldn't come and see me. The peace on me was like unbelievable. It was the peace of God. Like God carries us. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to work it up. I feel like with God, like so many people think they have to work it up. They have to be good. They have to be reading their scripture every minute. I think once we put our lives in God's hands and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to walk, God carries us. And I really felt like for our lives now, we just really, you know, we have to get back to being like little children and really trusting God.
That's good.
To keep us. And I think that hospitalization for me and also the time when you know, I didn't feel a sting of the doctor telling me that Tom was going to die, just his presence, and I did nothing to deserve it, but yet the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of praying people and being hooked up in a good church and people that love you and care about you and are praying for you, that they're there for you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there to carry you, and we don't have to work it up ourselves in any way.
It's awesome.
And he loves us. He just, I think my mission is just how much God loves us.
Amen.
Just remember, just, you know, and you don't have to do anything to deserve it. Yeah. Like, he just loves you. And I think that I really changed my life when God carried me in 91, when I was such a mess. Like, I remember we had a house in Florida, and I'd be walking on the beach just crying. My husband is a wreck. I'm a wreck. We have four children. And yet, the faithfulness of God, like I was doing nothing. You know, I certainly did read my Bible and trust God, but yet I felt like his love for me was greater than any of that, amen. And that he is going to carry me. And
awesome.
He just loves us so much, and he's so faithful.
It's awesome.
So I would like to say, encourage the church to keep praying for one another.
Yes.
Because God is faithful, and he does hear our prayers.
It's good.
Well, I have to share just one more testimony. In the fall, I had lymphoma 3 years ago, and all my chest and my abdomen was all swollen again. The lymphs were all swollen. And, you know, everybody was praying for me again. Well, I had to have 2 CAT scans and some other scan because when they went to do a biopsy, they couldn't find the lymph nodes, but yet they were causing problem with my liver. But then in the end, when they went to do the scan, the lymph nodes were gone. And so I said to the
swollen, the swollen lymph nodes.
Yeah, swollen. Yeah.
She still has her lymph nodes.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But the faithfulness of God and the prayers, because I was all ready to start chemo again and the whole business. And
didn't have to.
No.
Amen. So here's the deal. You're going to be starting a new chapter. You're moving from, the Hudson Valley to go to Arizona, of all places. And we know why, because you have family there.
Yes.
And, a whole new chapter at this stage of your lives. Are you excited about it or not?
Very excited about it.
Amen.
And I just want to say, I don't want to give the impression that our lives have been terrible. But, you know, through it all and looking back I have to say, overall, I have such a sense of the pleasure of the Lord.
That's good.
In my life, and the joy of the Lord, that, you know, no matter what I've gone through, it was all worth it, because it changed me from being a self-centered person and going my own way to be more flexible and open to the Holy Spirit and to his presence.
Amen.
And that's worth more than gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
We were out to dinner on Friday night with a couple. One of them was our real estate agent and her husband. And we got into talking about God a little bit and stuff. And he was getting like irritated, and I'm telling him about the Lord, and he says, "You know what? I am jealous." And I said,
"Of you?"
I said, "Of what?" He says, "I'm jealous of what you have." And I, it was like, what an opportunity. You know, I said, "That's God. You're hungry for God, and you don't even know it." And it was just, you know, the presence of God was so there.
Thank you.
And I think through all of the hardship and stuff and difficult things, it refines you. You become more refined by the Holy Spirit to be able to respond to Him in a very powerful way. Amen. So overall, I want to say I am so thankful to God that all that I went through, even though it was horrible, it was well worth it. It was well worth it because there's nothing as valuable as His very presence. And we were going to another church at the time. We didn't mention this, but it was called New Covenant Christian Church in Hopewell Junction. And we heard that something was going on up here at Reach Out. And so we started coming up just to check it out. And we thought maybe we could bring it to our church there in Hopewell. And the thing that we saw here was the presence of God.
Thank you, Lord.
The very presence of God. And there was nothing like it. And our pastor at the time down there was a little upset with us for doing this, for going up here. But we weren't intending to leave. But he kind of persecuted us to the point where we did leave. But we wanted that presence. And that's why we're here today, even to this day. And we've been here how many years?
31
or 32 Amen. Years. Because of the very presence of God right here in this very room. And I don't think it's ever left. And that's the thing I think is what Reach Out means to me, is the very presence of
Thank
Almighty
you,
God.
Lord.
And you could feel it
Amen.
And experience it.
So I know we've run out of time already, but Tom, I'm just going to ask you to pray a blessing over this body of believers. I think next week you're back, and then you actually move after that, and you'll be back, I'm sure, somewhere along
back,
the way.
Yeah.
But after I've announced you're leaving and you show up next week, people might be, I thought you were leaving, and you are. But
we'll be here next week, though, church.
But you want to do me a favor and just pray a blessing over this body here?
Yes.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. Father
Thank
God.
Jesus.
I give you thanks for your faithfulness. What a faithful God you are.
Yes.
And I pray over this body, and especially anybody who has illness or affliction in their lives, that the Spirit of God would just come upon them right now, Lord God, and bring healing. He comes with healing in His wings.
Thank you, Lord.
And that you would touch them all now, Lord, and in their personal life and walk with you, that they would be encouraged and strengthened by our testimonies and by the wonders that you've done in our
Thank
lives.
Thank you, Lord.
And we give you thanks for it all now, that we could sit up here and proclaim your goodness and your faithfulness.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to speak a blessing over you and encourage you to say hello to Tom and Mary. Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for the time of sharing that we heard of your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord, and your love, your compassion, your comfort. Lord God, I pray a blessing upon each individual here as they go forth from this place, that they will go with their story in mind, that their story is precious to those around them, and people want to know about their story, and that they can interweave Jesus into their story because you're a part of our story. So bless each one, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you this morning.